We hear again from the third chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as the propitiation by his blood. In the name of Jesus. A day of great celebration in the church, Reformation Day. But as a strange thing, the one thing that we cannot hear on the day of the Reformation of the church is a sermon about the Reformation. Because if we heard a sermon about the Reformation, that sermon would be a denial of the Reformation. Because the Reformation was about a particular matter, and that matter concerns what was preached and what is to be preached in the church. So first, a few things of what the Reformation is not about. The Reformation is not about reforming the church to rid her of outdated worship practices. We are thankful for our brothers and sisters who have gone before us, and we worship along with them. The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene, the Athanasian, they're not discarded or updated. They can't be. These creeds belong to the church of every generation, and no generation takes it upon itself to treat them as expendable. The church continues confessing and extolling these creeds with one voice of every generation. The Reformation is not about tearing down crucifixes or statues of saints or tearing out stained glass windows or any other such destruction of arts which extol the gospel. Luther himself treasured the gifts of music and art in the church, and he himself practiced the singing of the hymns and the chanting of the liturgy. The Reformation is not about cleaning up the corruption and debauchery of the bishops and priests in Rome. There's much corruption, much grabbing for political power, much sexual debauchery which needs cleaning up. But this is always the case in our sinful world, and this is not what the Reformation was about. The Reformation is not about church governance or political alignments. You can read the Lutheran confessions and you will find nothing about how the church must be organized for governance. Nothing about whether it should be run out of a city like Rome or out of a city like Wittenberg or St. Louis. How many bishops should the church have? How many years of seminary for a pastor? You will find nothing in the confessions to give an answer. Nor was the Reformation about what type of government the Christian should live under in this world, under a king or under a democracy, in a republic or in a dictatorship. The confessions say nothing about how a Christian can expect to live under a government. Then what is the Reformation about? One thing only. It is about what is preached in the church. What is preached in the church is the justification of the sinner before God. This is the article of justification. One long sentence. We teach that people cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works. People are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith when they believe that they are received into favor and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. By his death, Christ made satisfaction for our sins, and God counts this faith for righteousness in his sight. That's Article 4 of the Augsburg Confession. It's been called the article upon which the church stands or falls. It is the article which the Pope rejects, such that he excommunicates anyone who teaches this article, ruling that the article of justification is anathema. But this is the preaching of the church. This is what we teach our children. This is what every sinner needs to hear, that the sinner cannot be justified before God by his own strength, merit, or work, but the sinner is freely justified for Christ's sake through faith, when he has faith that he's been received into God's favor and his sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. By his death, Christ made satisfaction for our sins, and God counts that as righteousness in his sight. Where did the Augsburg Confession, or where did Luther get this? We heard it. To the Christians in Rome, the Apostle Paul wrote, "By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For," Paul writes, "there's no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness." Romans 3. This is justification. It may sound like a long, complicated word, but it's that simple. Upon this article, the church stands or falls. Not only the church in Rome, to whom Paul was writing at that time, but the church then of every generation. For the Lord gave these words through Paul in order to have them delivered in Holy Scripture to the church of every generation and every place. The sinner is justified, says Paul, not by any work of the law. By deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That is actually a strange teaching in our world, where everything is justified by our own works or worthiness. But not by any work of the law are we justified, says Paul. By no work of love, by no effort of making ourselves worthy, by no tally sheet of accruing merit. By no work of law will we be justified, says the apostle. Then why the law? If the law is not there because we can keep it and make ourselves worthy, if the law is not there as a way for us to accrue merit, if the law is not there for us to build ourselves up in love, then why the law? The law, says Paul, very simply, gives the knowledge of sin. Romans 3:20. The law shows us not how to gain merit, but how sinful we are. The law shows us not how to be worthy, but how unworthy we are before God. The law always accuses. The law always exposes guilt, always covers in shame. The law never gives comfort, never cleanses, but condemns. Why the law? So we will know we are in need of a Savior. So we will see our total inability to be worthy before God, and we will instead look outside ourselves for a Redeemer. Not being able to justify ourselves, we finally rejoice in hearing the word of the one who is our justifier, Jesus Christ, justifying freely by grace. So if anyone asks us, what was the Reformation about? And what is the Reformation still about until our Lord comes again? It is about this, the preaching in the church that the sinner is justified by no work, merit, or worthiness of his own, but is justified freely before God for the sake of Christ through faith, and that the sinner's sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, who by his death made full satisfaction for our sin. This faith in Christ, God accounts to us as righteousness. Not about church power or governance, not about bishops and cardinals, not about cleaning up corruption and debauchery, not about candles and vestments and statues and stained glass, not about an office building in Rome or Wittenberg or St. Louis or anywhere else, but about one thing, the justification of the sinner before God freely for Christ's sake through faith. Everything in the church, says Martin Luther, is ordered toward this, the forgiveness of sins. The proclamation of the sermon, Jesus forgives the sin of every sinner. The confession and absolution, the forgiveness of sins by the word of Jesus spoken by the pastor. The Lord's Supper, Jesus giving us his body and blood to eat and drink for the forgiveness of our sin. The mutual conversation of the Christians at home or in the hospital or anywhere else. The comfort of Jesus speaking the forgiveness of sins, given as a gift from one Christian to another, so that we are building up one another in the true gospel. Everything in the church is ordered toward this, the forgiveness of sins, the justification of the sinner before God through faith in Christ. Everything in the church is ordered toward, as St. Paul says, that we are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as the propitiation by his blood through faith, that God might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Romans 3:25. In the name of Jesus, amen.